From the City of Angels, near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, the Genesis 6 conspiracy. Here's what's happening. Some breaking news, by the way. High in the skies over Michigan, a flash that lit up the sky and a loud boom noise recorded Tuesday evening by Southeast Michigan residents may have been caused by a meteor. I've been getting emails and calls all night. The residents reported the incident from Ann Arbor to Detroit, with some saying they felt the ground shake. Even my mother called me. She felt it. Japanese public broadcaster NHK issued a false alarm about a North Korean missile launch just days after a similar error caused panic in Hawaii, but it managed to correct the error within minutes. It was not immediately clear what triggered that mistake. Boy, everybody's edgy right there. A newly drafted United States nuke strategy that has been sent to President Trump now for approval would permit the use of nuclear weapons to respond to a wide range of devastating but non-nuclear attacks on American infrastructure, including what current and former government officials described as the most crippling kind of cyber attacks. Now, for decades, American presidents have threatened first use of nuke weapons against enemies in only very narrow and limited circumstances, such as in response to the use of biological weapons against the United States. But this new document is the first to expand that to include attempts to destroy wide-reaching infrastructure like something we've been talking about for many years now, the power grid or communications that would be most vulnerable to cyber weapons. The attorneys general of more than 20 states filed a lawsuit to stop the Federal Communications Commission's decision to repeal the Obama-era net neutrality protections. Let's check in with Lauren Weinstein, the expert on the Internet. So what do you think about the suit? And give us a brief update on what net neutrality is for some people here, Lauren.
Yeah, so as we were chatting about last time, we knew this wasn't going to happen fast because we knew there were going to be bipartisan court efforts to block this. We're talking about the current FCC's rollback of consumer protections that guaranteed that everyone had access to the Internet on the same terms and that the giant ISPs couldn't censor our speech and control what sites can go on, how fast they can be. In other words, to let the giant ISPs pick the winners and losers. I've been trying to find ordinary subscribers who felt, of any political party, who felt that the ISPs should get more power and should get the right to censor us and do those things, or that they should be able to charge us more. You can search forever. You can't find people like that. So what's happening now is we are seeing both parties, this is really not limited the way you might think, try to push back on this. And as you said, there's a number of states, 21 states now, and that includes a deep red state like Kentucky that went for Trump. They're filing lawsuits, and there's more coming. Mozilla, who does Firefox, they're doing a lawsuit, I guess, also. Jeez. There's a bunch of public interest groups, and there's different legal principles involved here, because not only did the FCC give these giant ISPs all these additional rights, they also said that the states couldn't do anything else for consumers if they wanted to. In other words, the FCC took away states' rights, so that the people of those states couldn't decide for themselves what they wanted to do. So this is going to be a long, drawn-out process, that we know for sure. It's kind of hard to figure how these giant ISPs are going to deal with this. So, for example, AT&T, right after the tax legislation passed, they announced that they were giving bonuses. Then they announced massive layoffs. So from a public relations standpoint, when you look at these lawsuits and things, you're just going to have a trouble finding people that love these ISPs. Now, this is not going to be a fast process. This is going to be, whoever wins any given lawsuit, there's going to be appeals and back and forth. So we can't really expect to see anything happen quickly. But from a consumer standpoint, I would be very interested to hear from any listeners out there who want the ISPs to have more power. If they can give me a good argument as to why, because, and here's another thing that's worth considering. The ISPs were claiming that unless the FCC did what they did, they would not invest in their networks. But it turns out the investment has been exactly the same all along. It hasn't made any difference because they're doing it for monetary reasons. They're doing it because subscribers want higher bandwidth and they want higher speeds and all these things. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this comes down, but don't expect anything to happen quickly.
Okay, well that may be a good thing. President Donald Trump passed a cognitive test and is in overall excellent health, but he needs to lose 10 to 15 pounds by eating better and starting to exercise, according to the White House physician. The influenza virus that sickened millions of Americans this season is already the most widespread outbreak since public health authorities began keeping track more than a dozen years ago. Now, with the threat of more strains emerging, it might even get worse. Here's Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, of course, author of Say No to Vaccines. Sherry, is this thing a real problem? I mean, people are getting sick all around the country.
Yeah, George, people are getting sick, but here's the thing. We call everything that looks like the flu, we call it the flu.
Yes, that's true.
And only about 15% of the time is people getting sick actually being caused by the influenza virus. And the vaccine is only to protect you against the influenza virus. In fact, in a little preparation for our talk tonight, I did a little research on the CDC's website where they actually have weekly surveillance reports that tell you how many people each week are actually being tested and are positive for influenza. And since October of 2017, which is the beginning of this flu season, the CDC has tested almost 372,000 specimens. And of those, only 12.8 are positive for influenza. So that means that 87% of the people that are out there getting sick, it's some other bug besides influenza. So what I'd really like to know is, what is the pathogen that's causing people to have this influenza-like illness? If only 12% of them are being sick because of influenza viruses, what other virulent pathogens are out there causing 88% of the people to get sick?
And where are they coming from, Sherry?
And where are they coming from, which is really good. So all of this hysteria about the myth of the matching viruses that need to match in the circulation that matches up to the flu shot, it really doesn't have anything to do with it. It's sort of like fake news, fake flu. And so, so I think it's really important to know that only 12% of the people are actually being sick by influenza viruses. There's another pathogen. In fact,
something's going on.
There's more than 200 viruses out there that people can get sick by. So there's something else going on, George.
All right, Sherry, let's find out what it is and save people. A Kentucky plastic surgeon has been arrested after apparently showing up too drunk to perform a surgery. How would you like to be that patient that is going to get work done? The Dow's record-fast sprint to 26,000 earlier in the year is raising concerns now on Wall Street that the stock market may be in danger of overheating. Let's check in with registered investment advisor Catherine Austin Fitz. I'm beginning to hear that from a lot of people, Catherine, that...
There's absolutely no danger that it's overheated. It's definitely overheated.
Yeah. Boom.
George, if you look at the technicals, the overbought, you know, one of the technical indicators as to whether something's overbought or underbought, you know, we haven't hit this high overbought in a long time. So we've really had I've said that the stock market is on a crash up. So, but if you just look at how much it sort of melted up in the beginning of the year, it's quite something. And I think there's a lot of money concerned, one, that they're going to miss something, and two, I think there's, with what's happening with interest rates, there's a lot of money looking to get out of the bond market. So it's hard to imagine that it will continue at this rate. If it does, it's a real signal of dangerous inflation ahead.
That could be very dangerous indeed. Catherine's website, Solari.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. A second winter storm in as many weeks, causing hundreds of flight cancellations across the United States, potentially dealing further blows to carriers' first quarter outlooks as well. What is going on with the weather? Could we be in the beginning stages of an early ice age? Robert Felix, author of Not by Fire, But by Ice, joins us next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Robert Felix with us. Robert, of course, a former architect, became interested in the ice age cycle back in 1991, and then he spent the next 8.5 years full-time researching and writing about the coming ice age. Wrote a book called Not by Fire, But by Ice. That was my first introduction to Robert. Then later on, he wrote Magnetic Reversals and Evolutionary Leaps. But Robert, I got to tell you, I cannot remember colder weather in a very long time. It's unbelievable.
There's been some real stuff going on, George. I got an emailed a couple of emails today. One guy says it's snowing in Brownsville, Texas. That's a reader by the name of Andy. And he said that's twice now so far this winter. And that's a rare event happening twice is very extraordinary. And then I got another email from somebody this afternoon that it was 26 degrees and snowing in Houston. My word. Yeah, it's not your imagination. There's stuff going on. It'll be interesting to see how many of your listeners tonight are seeing snow tonight.
When we open up the phone lines next hour, we'll see what happens. Yeah. You know, when I talked to you a couple weeks ago, I was in St. Louis, and it got down to -7 degrees. That's cold.
That is cold. Well, tonight it's going to be doing, today, I guess this winter weather has shut down the interstates in Louisiana and closed roads in Kentucky. And it closed the runways, airport runways in Texas, Houston, San Antonio, and Austin. And we're talking far down in the south. And they're having ice-coated bridges in Mississippi and in Alabama, and they're calling for 2 inches of snow in Alabama. So yeah, it plays into what I've been saying. You know, I've been saying for 20 years that we're headed into an ice age, and so far I have not had to change my story.
And tell us first of all, Robert, the definition of an ice age, because a lot of people have the misnomer that it's constantly cold 24/7, you know, 12 months out of the year. That's not necessarily the case, is it?
Absolutely not. No, you're right, George. No, they don't call it a cold age. They call it an ice age. So during the last ice age, most of Canada was covered by 1 to 2 miles of ice, straight up. I mean, we're talking a lot of ice. Seattle was covered by 3/4 of a mile of ice. And yet, if you went 150 miles south of Seattle, it was only about 7 degrees colder than it is right now. So what we're talking about is, yes, we're talking about more snow and more snow, which ends up accumulating. If it gets deep enough, it becomes ice. But south of the ice sheets, life goes on. It may be a little cooler, but I think during the last ice age, Florida was only like 3 degrees colder than it is right now. The equatorial rainforest belt, it stayed almost the same. So not everybody has to worry. To me, the biggest problem will be food.
Now, why do you think we are headed for an ice age?
Well, mainly because there's a cycle to ice ages. It shows up in the geologic record going back for millions, if not billions of years. And there's no reason to think that cycle isn't going to repeat. Actually, there's several little cycles. There's one called the solar retrograde cycle, where the sun has its own little tiny orbit, and it goes into a retrograde motion about every 180 years, and the Earth gets cooler. Then there's the little ice age cycle. That is about every 360 years when the sunspots slow down or almost stop, and so that's another cycle. Then there's one called the Milankovitch cycle, which we've known about since at least the 1970s, but that ice ages return approximately every 11,500 years based on something called precession of the equinoxes. And then there's a huge cycle, it's called orbital stretch. But our orbit, the Earth's orbit around the sun, is not a perfect circle. It's slightly elliptical. And it doesn't remain elliptical. It goes from being close to a circle to an elliptical and back to close to circle. That takes about 105,000 years. And guess what? We have an ice age about every 105,000 years. The problem that I see today is that every single one of those cycles is now due to hit. And I don't see anything that humans can do to stop it. I don't think we're causing it, and I don't think we can stop it.
What about global warming? Where does that fit into the scheme of things?
I used to say I thought global warming was a hoax. I'm beginning more and more to think it's a fraud.
Really?
The things that we hear about global warming, well, one of the reasons I say that, you know, is that the world was getting cooler in the 1970s, and then it started to warm up. But then we had this pause, you know, that began in about 1997 where the warming stopped. So the way we used to keep track of that is, as near as I can tell, is that we kept track of temperatures on land. Well, now we're including the ocean temperatures in that, which we didn't used to do. And ocean temperatures, I agree, ocean temperatures have been going up, but I don't think it's caused by humans. I think it's caused by underwater volcanic activity. So if you take the oceans out of the equation, temperatures on land have been going down. And, you know, land is pretty much where we live. So that's the one that I look mm-hmm. at, I just don't think we're getting the true figures.
Are ice ages cyclical?
Absolutely, they're cyclical. I mean, at 11,500 years ago, we entered into a short ice age called the Younger Dryas, when something like 40% of the world's larger mammals went extinct. We're talking about the mammals that weighed over 100 pounds. So the short-faced bear went extinct, the mammoth went extinct, the mastodon went extinct, the saber-toothed tiger, and the glyptodon. There's so many different animals that went extinct. So that was about 11,500 years ago. Then about 23,000 years ago, we had we entered into an ice age, and again, that was an extinction. I don't think of the names. The European forest elephant, I think, went extinct. I don't remember the others. And 33,000 years ago, we went into an ice age, and that's when, the studies I've read, that's when the Neanderthals went extinct. So, yeah, that cycle just shows up in the record.
It's remarkable at how gradual it occurs, and then it's here. You don't wake up and it's here. It's not one of those things, is it?
Well, it can be faster than you think. I just read an article.
Of course, remember that woolly mammoth that was found frozen with still chewing something?
Yes, yeah, it happened fast. No, there's, you know, the we used to think the ice ages began very slowly, but in 1997 there was a project called GRIP, Greenland Ice Core Project, where they drilled deep cores into the ice in central Greenland. They went down as much as 2 miles deep and pulled the cores up so that they could look at ice that had formed as much as 250,000 years ago. And they determined that every ice age in the last 250,000 years, every single ice age began in less than 20 years. And by beginning in less than 20 years, it went from temperatures and climate as warm as today into full-fledged glacial severity in less than 20 years. So, yeah, it can happen very, very. And now, again, though, I'm not saying we're going to be covered with ice. It's not like these giant ice sheets come grinding out of the north. It's called a snow blitz, and we just get heavier and heavier snows.
Well, it's going to happen sooner than later, don't you think?
I do. I think we're due. You know, when I look at the various cycles, and of course when I look at the sunspot cycle, the little ice age cycle,
right.
I look at right now, sunspots. We're now in something like the Dalton minimum of 180 years ago, where sunspots are the lowest they have been in more than 100 years. And that in the past has correlated with these little ice ages. If that keeps going, then we're on our way right now.
All right, stay with us. Robert Felix with us, not by fire, but by ice. His websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Next hour, we will open up the phone lines for your questions and your stories. And if you've got one of these horrendous weather stories you want to share with us, go ahead and do that too. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Don't touch your dial. And the weather will not be bad in Salt Lake City on March 10th. That we can assure you at the Janae Wagner Theater, our live stage show. Full details at coasttocoastam.com and our carousel reel. However, you can call for the tickets at 801-355-2787 or their website, artsaltlake.org. Great time, a meet and greet following the event. And then on April 21st in Scottsdale, Arizona, we will have another live stage show at the Virginia Piper Theater. Full information again on that program at coasttocoastam.com or call them at 480-499-8587 or go to their website, scottsdaleperformingarts.org. And welcome back. We are back with author Robert Felix, not by fire, but by ice. In a moment, we'll talk about his other work, Magnetic Reversals and Evolutionary Leaps. Robert, the controversy about glaciers, they're melting, they're not melting. Where do you stand there?
Well, certainly some of them are melting, but a lot of the ones that we're not hearing about are not melting. You know, I just looked today on the website for where they keep track of the Greenland ice sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And the Greenland ice sheet, as of today, it has a greater mass balance than is the median. So you know, because I hear all this stuff about, gee, the melting ice in the Arctic is what's happened is have all these big snowstorms down here. But that's not true, because the Greenland, as of today, the Greenland ice sheet is, the mass balance is bigger than normal. As of today, the Antarctic ice sheet is still growing. I mean, we do read articles in the paper and on the internet about glaciers on the West Antarctic Peninsula that are melting. And yes, that peninsula sticks out into the warmer ocean. So the glaciers there have been melting. A lot of that is also coming from volcanoes beneath the ice. But the primary part, the huge part of Antarctica, the ice is still growing thicker. So, and then the Himalayas, that's a big one, you know, is that a few years ago, we were told that all the ice was going to be gone in the Himalayas by 2035. Well, it turns out that that is not true. The glaciers in the Himalayas are actually growing. K2 is growing, Namba Parbat, Mount Everest, the glaciers are growing in a big part of the Himalayas. Glaciers are growing right here in the United States. And that's one I'll bet that a lot of your listeners aren't even aware of. But Mount St. Helens, you know, that erupted when, 1980, 1981, I forget which. But before Mount St. Helens erupted, it was covered with a lot of glacial areas. And during that eruption, all of that that ice melted almost instantaneously, and it rushed down the Toodle River along with bulldozers and rocks and whatever else. So the glacier was gone. Well, a new glacier has reformed inside of the crater, and the glacier on Mount St. Helens is now bigger than it was before the eruption.
Jeez.
That's, you know, you don't hear about that, but that is a fact. Glaciers are other great glaciers are growing in the in Washington State. Glaciers on Mount Baker, according to geologist Don Easterbrook, has been measuring them, and they are growing. So there's glaciers, quite a few glaciers that are growing. But just looking at the Antarctic glacier and the glacier in Greenland, the Antarctic ice sheet and the Greenland ice sheet, those two ice sheets alone are like 90% of the world's glaciers. So when you look at it that way, at least 90% of the world's glaciers are growing, but we're being told that they're melting. So we're not hearing the full truth.
What's going on with Mount Ararat in Turkey, where they think Noah's Ark might be? We want that to melt away so we can see if the Ark is there.
Okay, that one, you've lost me there. I don't know about that.
Boy, that would be an amazing story. All right, magnetic reversals. Let's talk about magnetic reversals. Aren't we in one now?
I guess we're always in one if you look at it.
That's different from a pole shift, right?
It depends on what you're talking about. Some people say a pole shift is a magnetic reversal, but other people say a pole shift is where the Earth actually tips upside down. So in that respect, very different, because during a magnetic reversal, the Earth does not tip upside down. All that happens is that the magnetic North Pole moves to the South Pole. Now, because, you know, our magnetic field is pointed toward the Arctic for so long, why we like to think that's normal, but actually the Earth's magnetic field has been reversed for about half of history. And that's another thing, of course, that I go back to with the ice ages, is that I see that ice ages have begun or ended in conjunction with magnetic reversals. There was a magnetic reversal almost exactly 11,500 years. It depends on the measurements. About anywhere from 11,500 years ago to 12,300 years ago, there was a magnetic reversal called the Gothenburg magnetic reversal. Now, if you look up magnetic reversals, they're going to tell you that the last magnetic reversal was 780,000 years ago. But that is because in many cases, they don't include what are called magnetic excursions. And a magnetic excursion is a time when our magnetic field sometimes moves all the way south and then moves back. Sometimes it moves partway south and fluctuates and then moves back. So these magnetic excursions, which often may last as little as 500 years, they often don't show up in the record. But we do know that there was the Gothenburg magnetic excursion about 11,500 years ago, which correlated with the mammoth extinction. We know there was the Lake Mungo magnetic reversal about 23,000 mm-hmm. years ago. That correlates. There was another one 33,000 years ago. So a lot of these magnetic reversals absolutely correlate with ice ages. And when you say we're going through one right now, what has happened in the past is as our magnetic field strength goes down and goes down and goes down, and when it reaches a certain point, about 15% of normal, then it can reverse very quickly. Well, when the book first came out, when Not by Fire but by Ice first came out, our magnetic field strength was declining at the rate of 5% per 100 years. Well, now there was a new study that came out just a couple of years ago. Now they say that our magnetic field strength is declining at 5% per decade, not per 100 years. So it has speeded up by 10 times. Nobody knows what that means. I don't either, but I'm thinking it could mean that we're closer to a reversal than we realize.
Well, now, what exactly causes them? I know you were just tying it into ice ages, but, I mean, does the sun have anything to do with a magnetic shift?
No one exactly knows. What I tie it into
is... Or is the core, the planet's core, changing?
No, what I tie it into is precession of the equinoxes. And without getting too esoteric, let me see if I can explain it, is that if you could put a stick, you know, the Earth rotates, and if you could put a stick through our axis of rotation, it right now would point toward the star Polaris, the North Star. But that axis of rotation slowly turns, so that 11,500 years from now, that axis of rotation is going to be pointing toward a different star, toward the star Vega. And then 11,500 years from then, it's going to be back pointing toward the star Polaris again. I think somehow, and I do not know the mechanism, but I think somehow that this the magnetic reversal is related to that precession of the equinoxes, to that turning of our axis of rotation. It goes so slowly that we don't see it, we don't feel it, but it's happening.
Now, our coast listeners, Robert, though, who are listening to the program right now, wherever they may be, driving, at home, at work, and they're saying, so what this happens? So what about an ice age? How's that going to affect me? How does that affect them?
Well, the big thing I'm going to say, well, if you live in Canada, you better worry about it, I would say, because during the last ice age, Canada, most of Canada was covered by 1 to 2 miles of ice.
1 to 2 miles of ice?
One to two miles straight up. Seattle was covered by about 3/4 of a mile of ice straight up. Now, at the same time, now, amazingly, most of Alaska was not covered with ice during the last ice age. That is an amazing thing. But apparently the Pacific Ocean moderated it enough that most of Alaska was okay. It'll be safe during an ice age, I think. But at the same time, all of this ice that's accumulating in the north and in far south, the water to create that ice had to come from somewhere. So what happened during the last ice age is that sea levels were 400 feet lower than they are today. Now, the Bering Strait is only about 270 feet deep. So that means that the Bering Strait was actually above water. And it actually created a land bridge, a huge, huge land bridge, almost as wide as Alaska is itself. But it created this huge land bridge, and our ancestors could have walked here. They didn't have to come with a boat. They could have walked across that land bridge. So, you know, one of the things I just discovered, I think that you probably had this on your show one time, but Indonesia, Sumatra and that area of Indonesia during the last ice age was actually connected to the mainland, and there was a huge amount of land that was above water that's probably the size of a continent. And some people think that's probably where Atlantis would have been located, because it was above water, and then as the ice sheets melted, why then it slowly started up again. You know, they're talking, you know, I see all this talk about rising sea levels. Well, shoot, sea levels have been rising for 11,500 years. There's nothing new going on about that.
Well, it's pretty remarkable that these things have been happening, and science doesn't tell us much about it, Robert. Why not?
Science tells you if you look far enough, but
they don't admit it.
No, but it's there. Part of it is, you know, I think part of it is the purse strings. If somebody starts going against the politically correct idea of global warming, they're gonna lose their job. You know, the state climatologist of Oregon lost his job because he disagreed with the global warming scenario. The state climatologist of Virginia lost his job because he disagreed with the global warming scenario. State climatologist of Delaware lost his job for the same reason. Now, if you're a young scientist just starting out and you've got a wife and kids and you're paying, or if you're a woman scientist, whichever, but you're paying rent and you're paying for your household and you're paying your car payments, you know, if you see your boss get fired, you're going to say, maybe I better just toe the line a little bit here. I think that's part of it. I don't think it's a conspiracy. I think they just learn what they better not say.
Is it dangerous to have a complete magnetic reversal? I mean, are birds going to smash into walls and things like that?
I don't know. You know, during I do write about it in Not by Fire, But by Ice, but I have one chapter called, I think it's Crazy Snakes and Twirling Cockroaches or something like that. I don't remember.
They all go bonkers, don't they?
But they do, yeah. Is catfish not necessarily during a reversal, but just during an earthquake when the magnetic field changes, because the magnetic field does often change during an earthquake. But catfish will start jumping out of the water, and snakes, I told about this one this one earthquake in China where it was like February, it was below zero, and yet snakes started crawling out of the ground, and then they froze to death rather than being caught and being ground into snake burger by the land. So, but yeah, birds during a race, some homing pigeons, you know, when the magnetic field changes a little bit, why homing pigeons get lost. And of course, at the airports, my understanding is that they have signs along the runways that tell pilots where to go, where magnetic north is. And many airports have had to start changing their signs because magnetic north is moving. Now, that's something that happens all the time. It is moving.
What about our compasses? What happens to them?
Well, I would assume they're going to change too. You know, speaking of compasses, that's how actually scientists can tell there was a magnetic reversal. What they do, there was a...
They weren't pointing true north anymore, was it?
No, what they do is when lava comes out of the earth, it's so hot that it does not have a magnetic inclination. But when it cools down through what's called the Curie temperature, then it takes on the magnetic field of the day. So scientists can go to I think this is fascinating. I haven't done it, but I'd love to. But scientists can go to a lava field, and they can drill a hole into the lava, and then put their compass down inside that hole, and they can tell which way was north at the time that volcano erupted. It's really fascinating.
Robert, you expect sea levels to drop instead of rise. You're in a different camp here.
Well, and you know something, there's one you probably haven't heard, George, is that sea levels declined in 2011. Sea levels declined in 2012, and sea levels declined last year.
Whoa, they're supposed to take out the shorelines of cities.
Well, maybe not. You know, it's sea levels have been rising for, you know, for 11,500 years, and they've been rising about the thickness of a dime and a nickel put together. Not the diameter, just the thickness. That's how much they've been rising, and that's how much, I guess, that we're supposed to be petrified about. But that's been going on, as I said, for thousands of years. But actually, in 2012, they went down. In 2011, they went down. And last year, sea levels went down. Not much, but they...
But they didn't go up, and that's important.
They did not go up. Yeah, that's very important. And, of course, I think that's because of the huge snowstorms. You know, last year, California had their huge snowstorms, their record breakers.
Well, let me tell you, though, Denver needs some snow up in the mountains to get that Colorado River flowing again. Well, we're going to come back in a moment, Robert. We're going to take phone calls, questions, and weather stories. Tell me when you were stranded on a freeway in 10 feet of snow. We'll be back.